Y'all, I am Coach Judith. I am a life coach here with No BS. I'm one of the private coaches, and this is a life coaching call. With me tonight is the lovely Dina. She will be in the chat and helping you with questions and dropping any links. Dina, I think other than Ask Coaches, we'll find out if I have any links. So, trying to come together here. So this call, you must be pre-selected for this call. Emails go out on Friday, and lovely Coach Julie has a process that she goes through, and she selects people who have submitted a request. So for tonight's call, I am looking for Brianna, Tracy, Diana, Kaylee. If you would please raise your hand and I see some hands raised. Now I see it. Okay. So Tracy, I'm going to call you first and then Kaylee. So let's come on up here. This call is going to be about an hour long. Tracy, are you? Promoting you to panelist. It has a little glitch on it. It kept going back and forth. I thought I had admitted you. Hey, Tracy.
I'm here.
Hey.
I'm here.
Welcome. 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 It's good to meet you.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Let's see. Give me just a second. I'm going to try and hide all my little chat features so I can just focus on you.
Okay.
Coach Dina has the chat taken care of. See if I can turn that off. Can you hear my dog barking now?
My dog's barking as well.
Oh, she's 15 and she's a little bit blind and a little bit lonely. I promise I left a light on and the radio. So you have written in. But would you mind briefly, you know, you talk and I'm going to ask you some questions and we're going to talk.
Okay. So maybe I can get through it without crying. Oh. So what I wrote in about is my now 21-year-old child came out as trans last March and born male. Transitioning to be more female. There's been a lot of things to unravel with that. And I think my family would tell you that I'm like stone cold emotionally and that I never let anyone see the grief that I am experiencing. And so I think it took me a while to realize I was experiencing grief. And then like, oh my gosh, this is new for me. I've never allowed myself to feel this. So what do I do now? And it's been just a very emotional last 6 months. We are very accepting, but there's been some things that we worry about. And then there's some things that after they told us they had been feeling this way since junior high, there's a lot of things to unravel about their mental health at the time that they were going through this. The fact that we raised them in a very evangelical setting and different things they were hearing and just the grief that I have as a mom worrying about the emotional damage that I may have unknowingly put them through. And then the best way I can explain it too is the grief of losing a son while learning to love this new person, like losing Will and now learning to love Marley. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What comes up for you when you said that last sentence?
Is it okay to celebrate Will as a child?
What do you think?
I think so. But it's just really hard. Do I have to forget Will as a child?
Now, watch where your brain is going there. Is it even possible to forget Will?
Oh, no, no, no.
So why would you want to forget Will?
I don't want to. I think what I'm probably really thinking about is, can I openly celebrate Will as a child with Marley? Does that make sense? Like, when Facebook memories pop up, can I go, oh, this is what Will did when he was five? Or is that emotionally damaging them?
Well, it's interesting because this sounds like a conversation you could have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And are you willing to have that kind of discussion?
We have. I mean, they're very open. And the last conversation we had is, Mom, you did nothing wrong. You and Dad gave me a wonderful childhood. Mm-hmm. This is my journey. All of the things that I would want them to say, mm-hmm. but in my mind, but then there's also the fact, there's a lot of things going on with this. They're 21. They don't communicate as often. Well, 21-year-olds are assholes anyhow. Are they? Can be?
Wait a minute. Now. That's just not a helpful thought.
But I'm
24-year-old. I get it.
Yeah. There's some natural things that are occurring with our communication that's not necessarily has nothing to do with being trans. So mm-hmm. it's hard to tease out some of that stuff because I want to be mindful of their needs and their journey and how difficult this is, because it is difficult. I mean, I'm well read on it. I know that it's not an easy journey. My husband and I are very supportive, but it's just hard. It's hard.
Well, why is it hard? What do you think that has it feeling hard?
I think it feels hard because I've had to change my thinking about the trans community. I've had to really challenge my own religious beliefs about some of the things that I thought I had always known. And I'm totally willing to do that. I'm an elementary educator. I'm very aware of the trans community. My husband is a pediatric nurse. He's very aware of the trans community. And so it's just, I think for me too, what I worry about is probably some of the same things that all parents worry about. Is my child going to be happy?
Because how totally normal is everything you have just said about parenting? Everything. Yeah. Did I screw my kid up? Did I do this? Can I celebrate him? I mean, my 24-year-old, can I celebrate him on the Facebook? I don't even like.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to me, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he does talk to me. He's just not
right.
So coming back and just normalizing all of that. And it's okay for it to be hard, but what if you thought of it as like growth,
mm-hmm.
your willingness and love for your child to show up in such a great capacity, right? With this big open heart. Like, I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
Love them.
Right. And I think some of the questions that we have for Marley we really haven't had answered yet, because Marley's still having a tough time. Although Marley says that they are happier than they've ever been, they have a partner, they're very happy. Marley completely is independent. Marley takes care of themselves, mm-hmm. as much as 21-year-olds whose parents still pay their utilities are taking care of themselves. So they're very, very independent, very much produces the early morning news in our community, very, very independent. But I think there's still a lot of, and maybe it's not helpful to think about at what point, you know, how sad was your life in junior high, and did I miss anything? Should I have should have been able to intervene at a higher level. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So in coaching, we call this pointless questions.
Okay.
Right. Because we can't go, we don't have a time machine. We can't go back into time travel. And I just want to tell you again, like, this is very normal for any kind of parenting. Do you have other children?
He's our only, other than a nephew that we raised from the time that he was 10.
Yeah. Normalizing that, whatever, raising children, we always, in fact, I just want to like tell you a nugget about when my daughter was in kindergarten, I show up to this wonderful kindergarten teacher and I'm all worried, you know, I want to get everything right. I want to do everything right. So she has this perfect, you know, experience in the world. And she gifted me with a thought. She said, well, she said, you're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it right. There is no right way. You're just going to raise your kid and you're going to figure it out.
Mm.
That was like the biggest relief to me. Like, there's no right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Love my kid. Of course I want to get it right. But that's just an illusion of thinking. We love and we grow. We love and we grow and figure out together.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and that, I think it's the one thing that I've been thinking recently is that it's a journey. Mm-hmm. It's a journey. It's not only a journey for Marley. It's a journey for myself and my husband. And the one thing that we know for sure, and what we told Marley on the very night he said, my name is Marley. I have mm-hmm. friends that only know me as Marley, and I have to live as an alive Marley or I'm going to be a dead Will. And I said, we accept you for who you are. Welcome to the family, Marley. You know, so.
How are you and Marley just alike?
How are we just alike? We're pretty open. I mean, we're pretty willing to just say it the way it is and, you know, say our feelings. I mean, we're pretty open with each other.
Yeah, pretty accepting.
Mm-hmm, very accepting.
Like, Mom, it wasn't anything you did. Or, you know, I had a great, whatever all those sentences they mm-hmm. said to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And you're kind of like the same way, like, yeah, I love you too. We're going to figure this out. I'm willing to learn about the community and you, and I just accept you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're both really coming from such a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to come back, because that's what you had journal or written in about, was about questioning your grief, feeling your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about your sentence about, can I celebrate them on Facebook? Will, can I celebrate Will? And one, having the conversation with them, Marley, I pulled the name out of my head fast.
Them, they go by they go by they and them and Marley.
In having that conversation, but two, I would encourage you to do some personal grief work, right? It's called proactive grieving, right? It's the grieving intentionally, where you can make a scrapbook. You could pull pictures that you have of Will and do some journaling, and because they're your memories, that's your experience with your child. And you get to have that process, and you can cry and feel your feelings, because it is a loss of sorts,
mm-hmm.
whether it's due to the trans or just you don't have that baby kid anymore. And that's something that every parent goes through. None of us has that sixth grade kid, that fifth grade kid. Our kids change every year. And normalizing that for you and allowing yourself to be intentional. And it doesn't have to be with pictures, but it could just be with journaling about your memories for you, allowing yourself. I'm a big fan of the Feel Your Feelings worksheet, where Corinne takes you, there's a body scan where mm-hmm. you learn to process an emotion, and you can journal and then process the emotion and let the tears come. Because when there's great love, there's also great grief. Grief is love.
Mm. I definitely need to do that worksheet.
mm-hmm. And just letting it helps it like guide you through, and you can journal about what you're feeling, and then, or just tap into your body and experience the felt sensations. You know, you go through your throat, your chest, your stomach, and just be with it and let the tears come. Tears are healthy. Tears are normal. Grief is normal. It's just like every other feeling. We want to really just lay into that. This is a very normal experience.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better.
Well, yeah, because what are you thinking? I got to pull you back. What are you thinking that has you feeling better?
That many parents feel the same way because we, you know, maybe our kiddos aren't going down the same path that we imagined they would go down, that they're not little anymore. They're not sweet and lovey all the time, that they're sometimes jerks. it's a normal process for everyone.
Absolutely. And I love that you like recited that back, what you gathered from this, and that it is so normal. And letting go of the grief is letting go of our preconceptions of how we thought our child would be. Right.
Like
we have them married off and going to college here and whatever. Our brains tell stories, and that's totally normal. Totally normal. Like that's just, we like to be predictable. We like to try and predict the future with our brain. So that's just what we do.
Right.
But now you have the gift of being present with your child, accepting of your child, loving your child, having open conversations with your child. It sounds like you guys are doing so many wonderful things already. And recognizing that you're not a stone wall, that grieving is a process and totally what your body needs.
Yes. It's,
grief is a physical response. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not a head thing. Grief is a feeling thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is new to me. My husband even said, we've been married for 34 years. He goes, I'm a elementary principal, and I was off for quite some time over the holidays. And a lot of days I cried, and he came home and he's like, I don't know what to do with crying, Tracy. I mean, I've never seen this before. So what can I do to help? I was like, it's just something I need, to do. And I have the time off to do it.
Yes. Tell him. That this, it's your nervous system's way of resetting. It's your way of recalibrating. Your body is experiencing a lot of changes, and just normalizing that and welcoming, inviting it in. Mm-hmm. Try not to hold back emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like we want to practice letting it out and getting good at just normalizing. You can cry anywhere you want.
Well, I've been doing a lot of practicing lately.
You're doing great. I love hearing that.
Thank you.
Tracy, it's been a pleasure to work with you. You have a nice evening.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. I'm going to change you back down to attendee. And I think I saw Dina. There we go. Flash the Feel of Feelings worksheet. Y'all, I'm going to tell you. So much of what we do. Kaylee, I'm pulling you up right now. I think. There we go. Promote to panelist. We live in our brains, and we are so disconnected because we've not been instructed or taught, and it's no one's fault, how to feel our feelings. So the process of learning to feel your feelings, it's new. It's a skill you get to practice. And Tracy's going to get, she's getting her practice in. She's getting her reps in. All right. Kaylee, have we coached before? Have we coached before?
No.
Look a little familiar. Okay. So if you wouldn't mind, we'll just pretend like I'm just going to close this over here. I'm just keeping it up so I can see your name. What are we coaching on?
Well, recently I've been listening to You Are Badass. I've been going through the book study. And I've noticed that I have a lot of self-sabotage behaviors, and not just in weight loss, but like, I don't want to take my medicine at night because I'm too tired, or I don't want to do my schoolwork because I don't feel like I should do it or whatever, because I'm in school to be a social worker. I feel like I tell myself these things, and I kind of worked through this in my accountability group the other day. I tell myself that I can't do these things because I'm not smart enough, or I don't have enough time, or I'm so tired, or whatever. But I really think it's because I'm scared to fail, because I feel like if I fail, then that's permanent. That makes sense.
Permanently failed. What does that even mean?
I don't know. It just feels like if I don't do well on an assignment in school, then I failed it, and I didn't do it right the first time, or maybe this isn't right for me. And so I feel like I failed completely on it. Hmm. That makes sense.
What's the purpose of the assignment?
To understand the curriculum.
And what are you making it mean when you get, I'm guessing a letter grade?
It's either a pass or a fail. So it's kind of like, yeah.
And have you ever failed?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is that? What is failure really an indicator of?
I think just that I didn't quite grasp what I needed to.
This is the area I get to work in. This is what I need to learn. Good to know.
Yeah.
It's just an indicator for me, like literally on this pass fail, it's an indicator of what I get to go back and study, what I need to learn to be an educator. Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel like my meds, I have the hardest time with, because I take ADHD meds in the morning and I take psychiatry meds at night. And so when I lay down in bed and I have them right beside my bed so that I don't forget, it's like I'll look at them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired, I don't want to do that. But really, like, I'm not. I just am like avoiding it, if that makes sense.
So it's interesting. You have identified, you recognize I'm so tired. Because mm-hmm. I think you said it in an earlier thing where you recognize you sabotage. Like, you can stop the self-sabotage at any place when you recognize it's either going to be the thought, the action, the feeling, the thinking that I already said that. You can stop anytime. Mm-hmm. I notice I'm thinking I'm not going to take my meds. I notice I'm feeling tired. Oh, when I'm tired, that's my indicator. And here's where I really want to check in. You have to give some equal airtime to why you want to take your meds, to why studying for the test is important, to learning what the lessons that are here for you. There is no, the black and white thinking is just not going to be helpful, leaning into some gray areas for yourself. When I say that, what comes up for you?
I'm diagnosed OCD. So like I've tried to do things that are less perfectionist, because that's kind of where mine come in, is like intrusive thoughts, perfectionism, things like that. That's kind of where my OCD is. I have routines, but not like physical routines. Like, I know you hear a lot about like the clicking, or like, you know, turning the light off and on or whatever. It's more of like things need to be a certain way in a certain order. So it gives me like, I don't know, I'm feeling like a little tight in my chest when you're like, you gotta give it to the gray. And I'm like,
okay, so let's take it through the four N's. Mm-hmm. If you notice you're thinking, give me a thought.
The gray is not good enough.
I notice I'm thinking the gray is not good enough. Why is it normal for you to think that way?
Because I've always told myself that it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. And what is the neutral fact?
Good enough is objective.
Mm-hmm. You have thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so your next best thought or action could be, and this is where for you, really a 1%, 2% kind of, I'm willing, I'm open to believing that maybe this is good enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am good enough. How much time are you giving yourself on that equal air time for the right things that you do?
I don't know.
Okay, so true. As we work through the self-sabotaging thinking, the behaviors, we also need to be highlighting with equal airtime, equal. So every time you catch yourself in a self-sabotaging thought, you could also be like, oh, but here's what else is true. I did this. I did this. I took my AM meds. I walked. I wrote a plan, whatever it is that can give yourself some equal airtime. Have you heard of equal airtime before? Forgive me. I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have.
You've been in OBS a while, 3 months, do you?
A few months. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the basics pathway, and I just listened to the binging call with Jane, and I think she also discussed it there too.
Equal
airtime. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what would be a good strategy for you when you think about, is it the medication? Is it the thoughts around school? And
I think like what worries me most is the medication. Like school, I'm less like anxious about. It's like I get very worried about the medication because I feel like missing one day is like a huge deal when really it's not, but it's just, I don't want to miss those days, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like I logically know, like as somebody who studied science, that like my half time, like my half life of my medication is not going to go away in one day. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to affect like all of these things for a day. Right. But I just feel like it's like, oh, if I don't do it today, then I won't do it tomorrow, then I won't do it the next day. It's like I build it.
So this is where you could have an agreement with yourself in the evening. Like you play some mental gymnastics throughout the day with your perfectionism, your black and white thinking and understanding. But when it comes to the medication, this is where you need to have like a boundary. Like, yes, okay, I realize I can do this throughout the day, but here's my hard stop. I'm not going to do this with my medication. This is just a no. Brain, I hear you. I recognize what you're trying to do, but this is important to me. The half-life, I know the science. It's just my brain wanting to do and just redirecting and being like, you know, I'm flexible enough to know that this is what's best for me. Sometimes my brain just wants to go down this route, and that's normal. And I'm going to take my medicine. I'm just trying to offer you some thoughts that feel true to you. When I said any of those, did any resonate?
Yeah, I think just, it's almost like I think Corinne talked about this earlier, but it's like I'm in basics 2.0. She talks about rebelling. It's almost like rebelling against myself. Like, no, I have to do it, so I'm not going to. So I think also saying like, okay, that's fine. But also giving but this is what our medication has done for us. And this is how much, you know, better functioning we are. And, you know, here are, I think kind of just reminding myself that like, yeah, I can rebel or I can self-sabotage if I want to, but giving myself that equal airtime of like, but how has my life improved with implementing these things?
Mm-hmm. I like that, the power of the and. Like, I hear you, and how has my life improved? You give yourself the and is a really a powerful tool anytime you recognize a negative thought, and then finding what else you can hold to help give yourself that equal airtime. I think that was really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that helps.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I had a thought for you, and then I said a sentence.
Yes.
So having that agreement with yourself, having some firmness and the rebellion, that's what you were talking about, right? Because you're only rebelling against yourself. There's mm-hmm. nobody. So watching for hard language, watching for that should, I need to, I have to, I got to, or whatever it sounds like in your brain, that is also a trigger for that rebellious thinking. Because then, like you said, you don't have to. But here's why I want to.
Yeah.
Have you done the self-sabotage course with No BS?
I haven't yet. I just finished Basics 2.0 now in that pathway. And then I think I'm going into it's either Big Ass Action or the 24-hour deep dive. That's like the pathway of it. So I was trying to finish that out, but I was planning to go into scale drama, but I think I need to go into the self-sabotage.
The self-sabotage course for anyone listening is so comprehensive. There are so many amazing resources in there, and how Corinne has it laid out is just amazing. So I would highly recognize it. And I think you'll recognize right off the bat your triggers. And again, where you can change, where you can intercept for yourself, either in the thinking, in the actions, the feelings.
Okay.
Because you know when you're getting ready to, if it's eat off plan or not take the medicine, you recognize the action, or you recognize the feeling or the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Are equally available to you to be for yourself. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't think so. I have to say that I told you I was reading You Are a Badass by Jen. That really helped me. I was listening just on like my AirPods the other day, and I had to jump onto my accountability group because I was like, it's so interesting that she's sitting there. She's kind of talking about equal airtime, right? Like, we give ourselves these excuses, but really, like, when I break it down, when I say, well, I'm just not that smart, it's like, but you learned Japanese, and you got around in a country, and you have graduated college, and and it's like, I give myself these like reasons where it's like, okay, logically, like, that's not true. It's just some like crap thinking. And then like, same with my medicine. Like, I know I don't want to take it, and I don't love that I have to take medicine every day, but I also don't have intrusive thoughts. I'm able to function. I can ride in a car without freaking out. I'm, you know, not. Yeah. So I think like giving it both sides is.
Yeah. And really you said a sentence. I just want to where your brain went, and it's not right or wrong, but just really, you said, I have to take my medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take your medicine.
Yeah.
Why do you choose to take the medicine? And that's what you beautifully went into and recognized for yourself, and how this has been such a game changer in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you are just a delight to talk to, and so self-aware. Just thank you for being willing to get coached. Someone had made a comment. I don't think you got somebody in the chat said something to you. I just wanted to make sure you scroll back through and look in there.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You have a good evening and take care of yourself.
I will. Thank you.
Bye. Change her to attendee. All right. Did I say who was coming up next? We have, I'm sorry. Looks like, all right, Brianna is next, and I don't know who Zoom user is. Zoom user, can you type in who you are in the chat for me? Are you Diana? Zoom user? Yes. All right, Diana, then you will be next. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Brianna. And
does that work?
I can hear you. Yep.
Sorry, I'm not super familiar with Zoom.
Hey, you're doing great. Just me and you.
I feel like I'm not yet at an age where I'm not tech savvy, but I feel like I'm surprisingly not tech savvy anymore.
I can resonate with that thought. I am 55 and I impress myself every day. There is so much to learn with technology, so much. All right, Brianna, what are we coaching on? Oh, Stephanie says you have a great laugh.
Oh, thanks. So what I wrote in about is something that I struggle with in a lot of areas. I'm kind of a compartmentalized person, but one thing that's kind of common in all areas is I tend to be very black or white, all or nothing, it's right or it's wrong kind of thing. And so right now I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two toddlers. One will be 4 on Saturday. The other one is 2. And then obviously I'm a wife as well. Well, maybe not obviously. I'm a wife as well. But I just kind of have this overwhelming sense of like, I have to do everything right, or I'm not being a good mom. I'm not being a good wife. But then it gets so overwhelming to feel like I'm not doing things right. And then I feel like a terrible wife and a mom. And then I don't do anything, which then I feel makes me a terrible wife and a mom. And we just rinse and
repeat. Well, let me ask you this, for someone who is so aware of the thinking patterns, are you doing any journaling for yourself? Are you doing any journaling?
I am. I try to do journaling first thing in the morning, just because it's before the kids are up.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of got like the last week I haven't, just because it's been crazy with illness and late nights and things. But yes, I do journal, and I can't really, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my journaling always ends up being so surface level. Like I can't really ever get to the root of a lot of things. I feel like, and I don't know how to get deeper into it.
Well, so the reason I'm asking about the journaling is because, and I'm going to come back to the root. Okay. Is throughout the day, when you have this much awareness, how much active participation are you just indulging in the thoughts, or are you, again, much like, I believe it was Kaylee that was just up, like you have to interject for yourself and realize and give some equal airtime to what's going on, to noticing. If you're aware.
I don't think I'm super aware of it during the day. It's more like when I'm laying in bed at night and I'm kind of like reflecting on the day, waiting to fall asleep. And I'm like, I didn't spend a lot of time on the floor playing with my kiddos today. That's not right. Or, you know, we spent a lot of time playing with the kiddos today, but my house is absolutely trashed because I have 2 kids and we played all day. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. But I mean, what's wrong? What's wrong if are you giving yourself like, I played with my kids today. We played in the house. We're humans. This is what we do. Why is that a problem?
It's not, because I feel like that's what you're supposed to do with your kids.
Yeah.
Much in like when you're a stay-at-home mom, you're supposed to have a house that's relatively picked up because you're home all day. So in theory, you should be able to do that.
Okay. But yeah. What 1950s novel did that come from? Where did you get that thinking?
I don't know.
Do you want to keep thinking that way?
Not particularly.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's typed in lies, 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 lies. Yeah. That is some old, outdated thinking where you're judging yourself, right? Because we're not giving ourselves enough credit, enough equal airtime, and recognition of the things that we are doing for ourselves.
So how do you stop?
Okay, that's fair enough. Tell me during the day, you said, are you absolutely not recognizing, or there at some point during the day, are you checking in with yourself? Like pausing, what am I thinking? What am I feeling right now?
Maybe first thing in the morning. So like first thing in the morning is when I'm doing like my devotional and my planning and my journaling, and I kind of come up like with an outline for the day of like, you know, what I need to do with the kids, any appointments we have to meet. And then like the really important things that I have to do in my house, because like laundry, because we like not being naked, you know, that kind of stuff. And so then like, once that's done for the day, it's almost like my brain's not exactly on autopilot, but I'm no longer actively thinking about what I'm just moving from one task to the next all day. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like you're on autopilot, not taking a lot of time to reflect on all the good things that you're doing and why you want to do the things you're doing. And putting, when you make this list, why do you have to finish the list?
Because if I don't, it has to go on tomorrow's list.
Is that okay?
It depends on what has to be done tomorrow. Like, sometimes it's okay, but like, sometimes there's already a lot happening the next day.
So why do you choose to do the things on your list?
I want to be a good wife and a good mom. And I don't know how you measure that.
You know, it's not going to come from a list, and it's not going to come from clean laundry. You become a good wife by believing you're a good wife, by you telling yourself, I'm a good wife. I'm really proud of myself. You have to remind yourself and give yourself that equal airtime. It's never going to come from the things you did. It's going to be coming from you believing in yourself and telling yourself. And even if you never hear it from another living human being, you're going to hear it from a lot of no BS women. I can promise you that. Like, we could start a whole thread over in the Facebook about mamas. This is super common. I want to normalize this for you. Like, we weren't taught this, that it's our responsibility to recognize and pause that it's not my worth, my value, my belief in being a good mother is never going to come from how clean or dirty my house is, my thoughts, right? Because even that's just a thought. What's clean to you may be dirty to somebody else and vice versa. It's a perception. it's a trap. It's all just a trap. But practicing, you're a good mom. Giving yourself like a little break. Take a break with the kids. Roll around in the floor. Have fun. Have fun. You get to be home with your kids.
Yes.
What would you like to be doing with your kids if you weren't meticulously rating yourself on this list?
I'd like to be able to be out and about with them a little bit more. I feel like we spend a lot of time kind of housebound because I'm like trying to rush through housework at the same time that I'm like keeping half an ear out for them to make sure that they're doing all right. And I don't know. I tend to feel like I live in a constant state of distraction because it's like I'll work on some housework and there's this little voice in the back of my head that's like, you should be playing with your kids more. But then I start playing with my kids and we're having a good time. And the little voice in the back of my head is like, don't forget to switch the laundry. You're going to have to wash it again.
But I think like your awareness around that, like playing with the kids. And when I asked you, what would you be doing if you weren't meticulously doing the list, you were like, I'd be out of the house with my kids. How would it feel to be out of the house with the kids?
Probably really good.
What else would you be thinking if you were out of the house with the kids?
That my 4-year-old would probably be getting some more of the social skills that he's so desperately lacking right now.
Who else could be getting some needs met by getting out of the house?
Probably me. Stop going crazy in my own four walls. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's okay to get out. It's okay to let that house stuff go. Your value does not come from a list or the cleanliness of your house or the clothes in the floor. You get to determine the value. And it can be, I sat on the floor and played with my kid all day. I got out of the house. I socialized my four-year-old and I socialized myself and I met some of my own needs. I valued myself in this moment. I chose me and my family. There's always going to be dirty laundry. Right. It's a, like, that's a job security right there. Right. There's always going to be dirty dishes. There's always going to be. And letting some of that go and prioritizing your needs, your wants, and make happen what you can happen, and valuing this time with these children and valuing you. How would you need to think to value you? What would you tell? What would you tell? Do you have both a boy and a girl?
Mm-hmm. I do. Yep.
What would you tell your kids? Where does their value come from? Does their value come from their clean room?
No.
Where does their, yeah. What would you tell them? What if they were like, oh, mommy, I'm not valuable. My room's not clean.
That's silly because they're them. They're them.
And you're you. You're priceless. But you, this is your work to do. And I'm going to promise you this, the more you work on valuing you, the more impactful role model you'll be laying down this tracks for your kids and seeing what's important. Because when they're 23, 30, and like not in the house, do you want to be thinking like, I'm so glad I spent all that time rolling around in the floor with my kids and I made, you know, when you look like go forward and look back, what was important? Where did I value me? Where did I value my kids? I'm sure your house is immaculate. What's coming up for you?
I'm sorry.
What's coming up for you? What are you thinking?
That I wish parenting came with an instruction manual.
You've got no BS. You've got a village of women, a whole membership to help support you and encourage you. And like, we're not going to use this against ourselves. Like, this is where we grow. This is where it changed. I came and got coached and I realized that it's up to me. I determine my value. I determine my worth. And just the fact that I was born on this planet, I'm valuable. I'm worthy. It doesn't come from a list. If you choose to do the things on the list, you take authority, take responsibility. This is what I want to do today. I've prioritized these top things. And you can also prioritize socializing you and prioritizing meeting your needs, prioritizing your value and the value of your children.
Okay.
You can come to Ask Coaches too if you need. We're here for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. You have a good evening. You take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. It's a Zoom user. I cannot remember Diana with a Y. Diana with a Y. Promote to panelist. Hey, here you are. Hey. So, Diana, what are we coaching on?
So I wrote in about my relationship with my mother, which after I wrote in, actually, I realized that I was dealing with some of the same issues when I was with my now, thankfully, ex-boyfriend who I broke up with about a year ago. So my relationship with my mother has always been tough. We didn't get along when I was a kid. And as she's aged, she's now 70. I have noticed, and my sister's noticed, and my dad too, that she's dealing with some maybe early signs of dementia that she's really super in denial about. My mother is one of those people where, like, if you mention anything to her, it's automatically a criticism of her as a person, and it always turns into this huge deal. So I have noticed that when I go to spend time with them, I get real agitated while I'm with them. And so, for instance, on New Year's Day, I had them over for dinner and they left. I had all my planned drinks, my planned food and everything. The minute they left, I sat down, I turned on the TV, like let out this exhale. And then I was in the pantry and I was grabbing for sweets and I poured myself two extra glasses of wine. And I was like, the next morning I woke up, I felt like crap.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the hell is going on? And so I did some journaling, and I think it's related to having them around. My mom was being a pain in the ass that night, and she just, I mean, it was like, she just, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, my relationship with her was, as a child, was like, I would be walking out the door to go somewhere and she'd look at me and she'd be like, why can't you put some makeup on? And I'd be like, I have makeup on. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, why can't you wear this? Why? It was always this, why can't you be this? Why can't you be this? And so I think I carry that still with me. And, you know, being around her, I guess I'm finding it stressful. And like with my ex-boyfriend, he was a pilot. And every time he left, I would call it a binge. I'd, you know, be eating ice cream out of a container. And then I'd be reaching for cookies. I don't know how I didn't gain a shit ton of weight during this period of time, but somehow I managed to maintain, And I've done the relationships course.
I was going to ask you, where do relationships live?
Yeah. I did it a really long time ago when I first joined OBS. I'm an old hat here now.
Well, that's a thought.
And so I actually wrote down as one of my 60-day goals to redo the relationship course, because I don't remember anymore like what.
Yeah, I think you'd be doing yourself a solid for sure to do the relationships course. I think you'll get a lot of traction for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think this would be a nice to go back to. Was it this past weekend when your mother was at the house and you had two glasses of wine? I mean, was it
2 weeks ago? It was actually New Year's Day. I had them over for New Year's Day dinner.
Okay. And you recognized in yourself this huge sigh. Did you catch any thoughts?
No, it was not until the next day when I was like, what in the hell? When I went back and like sat down to do my assessment.
Yeah, let's pull this apart. What happened? What the hell happened? Like, you have to answer that question.
Yeah. I mean, I had arguments with her while they were here. She was in my way. And she's one of these people that constantly refuses to take responsibility for things. And so there was a lot of sort of like, I don't want to say we fought, but there's like this bickering. Mm. And, you know, when she's around, I mean, I can feel like I've noticed since that happened, because I've been around her a few more times, I've noticed that like, Like, I can feel that my anxiety suddenly raises, or I suddenly feel like I'm on edge, you know, I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop.
I love that you can recognize your feelings. And here's my question for you too. Like, what is your responsibility?
I think that's what I'm struggling with. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to maintain a relationship with my mother because she's my mother. I don't want to cut her out of my life, but I'm finding it's affecting my life in a negative way that I don't want it to be. And I know recognizing this situation with my ex-boyfriend, clearly this isn't just an isolated Diana and her mother thing.
Mm-hmm. So relationships live in your thoughts. So if your mother is in your house and you're thinking she's a pain in the ass, she's this, she's that, how would you be feeling if you were thinking thoughts like that?
Yeah, I'm going to get all worked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what is your responsibility is your thoughts and your feelings and your actions. Mm-hmm. And so you can recognize that if whatever it is you're feeling, it's not because of your mother. Your brain's going to want to tell you it's because she's crabby or whatever, all of those thoughts you had about your mom, because that's part of your story, right? It's since childhood. Yeah. It's since childhood, of course, right? I mean, that's where the story started in childhood, of course. And it's completely normal.
Yeah. And
when we have the ability to look in and recognize, like, you love your mom. Right? Mm-hmm. You want to be with her. You want to maintain this relationship. And so working on your thoughts and your feelings and taking responsibility for your thoughts and feelings, letting mom be responsible for hers. Like, I love, there's the infographic, it's called Take It or Leave It. And I could be wrong. It may not be on there, but it's like people say words. And yeah, literally, if you could practice, like, just seeing, like, hearing your mom talk, seeing her lips move, and just be thinking, she's just saying words, and I recognizing I'm thinking thoughts and having feelings right now.
Yeah.
And I also love my mother, and I'm going to figure this out, and maybe she's not that big of a pain in the ass. It's my story that I have about her that causes me to feel angsty and irritated and blah, blah, blah. Mm. She's just mom. She just says words.
Yeah. How do you get there? How do you?
Well, I'm going to tell you too, the four ends. When you're with your mother, I notice I'm thinking she's a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. It's normal for me to think this way because I've been thinking this since I was 12, since I probably knew my first cuss word. I was thinking mom's a pain in the ass. But the fact is, mom said words.
Yeah.
My next best thought or action could be, you know, I'm just willing right now to understand that I have lots of thoughts and feelings and I love my mom and I'm going to figure this out.
I think now that we're talking about this, I realized too, this thought just popped into my head. I think there's some resentment on my part too, that here I am, I'm in this program. I've already done the relationships course on her once.
That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility.
I know, and I'm like, but there's, you know, there's this part of me that's like, you know, I try to talk to her and everything is taken as a personal insult, a criticism. And I guess I feel a little bit of resentment that she doesn't want to do the work on the relationship. You know what I mean?
I don't know that. What if your mother never changed?
Yeah.
Your mom never changed, but you have 100% agency and understanding that it's going to, whatever you're feeling, your mom could take things personally all day long. Let her. It's hers to figure out, how do you want to show up? What kind of daughter do you want to be in this relationship with your 70-year-old mother who you're questioning may have some dementia markers? Do you want to be showing up resentful and angry? Or do you
Now you've just turned the tables on me. Now I don't know what to say. I wasn't expecting that. I was like, oh, okay.
You, it's not your mother. It's going to be your thoughts. And you get to choose who you want to be, the kind of daughter that loves her mother this way. I'm the kind of daughter that cleaned up my side of the street and took responsibility for my thoughts and feelings. And I did my work. And here's how I want to show up. I want to show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, these are the things we learn, you know, in no BS. And it, for some reason, this, what you're talking about now has escaped me somehow. Like, I knew I had to do the work, but I couldn't really, I guess, figure out a way to get there. And, you know, while I'm doing that work, I guess my other question is how do I, when I recognize this is happening, this, you know, this, where I'm getting worked up, and I can see myself starting to get into a binge. Like, do you have a suggestion for how I stop it in its tracks?
So if you recognize the pattern, the feeling, one, it's probably going to be when you're around your mom or your ex-boyfriend. Seems like you've already recognized two triggers.
Yeah. And
it's going to be the reason the binge serves a purpose. A classic example of what purpose the binge serves is to create a feeling or avoid a feeling. So if we have a bunch of shitty thoughts and feelings about mom and a big old story, and we're all irritated and amped up, it makes perfect sense that when mom leaves the house and we park on the couch, we have two glasses of wine and we dig in the pantry to kind of check out. It's avoiding the feelings and slowing down time when you're with your mom and recognizing your negative thinking. You don't have to do gymnastics to change your thinking right away. Just noticing your thinking can be all you need to start creating some change for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And
that's reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like mom says words. I'm going to give you one last little thought. There was a period where I try talking to your mom, like who's your favorite aunt or cousin or favorite lady about your mom's age?
Gosh, probably her best friend.
Okay. When you talk to your mom, when you hold that space, practice like you're talking, like you're not carrying any baggage since you were a kid. Mm. Addressing her, talk to her like you would your mom's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of taking on a persona and a willingness to kind of like recognize, like, well, I would never say that to mom's best friend. I would never feel that way about mom's best friend. It helps create some space.
Yeah.
You can process.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm going to try that.
It's very powerful. I did this raising children. the teenager, you know, giving me some bulky response, and I got some counseling, and she was like, talk to your kid, like who's his best friend? And I'm like, oh, River. Well, pretend like you're talking to River. And so I came with a different energy because I'm just talking to the best friend. I'm not talking to my son who's sulking around the house and I'm telling stories and there's this tension. So it allowed me the ability to kind of drop in and change my energy state so that I could show up while I'm still doing my work on the back end. This mm-hmm. is not the fix it thing, but it's a skill to practice while you're doing the relationships work, while you're figuring out your thinking and just noticing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take me a lot of practice. I mean, there's a lot of to unpack for me, I think.
Here's the thing. One day at a time. Don't let your brain start telling a big old long story. What if it doesn't take that long? You could just decide, you know what? It's normal.
Yeah. Well, and then the story wasn't right all this time.
Here's the thing. Story's just a story.
Yeah. It's not a fact, is it?
Not a fact.
Yeah.
The fact is your mom loved you. She raised you. You love her. And you get to decide with intention. You can unpack what you want. You can take as long as you want. You can take as short as you want. And that's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Lots to think about.
Yes. That was helpful. Thank you so much for coaching me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for showing up. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Right. Okay, guys, it is end of the show. Dina, thank you so much for your support in the chat. Thank you guys for being here. This is the end of the call. If you have any questions, you want to come to Ask Coaches, and we'll see you there. And thanks again. Bye. I think I got this right. I got special direction from MJ. Hold on. Stop recording.